Happy New Year to you. So last week I challenged the normal belief or the professional opinion that New Year's resolutions don't work. Remember? I said make them anyway. Make some New Year's resolutions and give it a shot. See how it goes. So let me ask you, how are the New Year's resolutions going? I made a big list of stuff. Here's the hard thing. The first week of the year, we're tired, right? We stayed up too late the night before the first day of the year, and then you're trying to play catch up the rest of the year. Like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. So let's just have a show of hands and be honest. When you had to get out of bed this morning, was it very, very difficult? If yes, raise your hand. Oh, I thought it would be worse than this. Okay, all right, never mind. I'm way out of touch. As I've been in conversation with people, it's like everybody's like, oh my goodness, 2019 is like a slap in the face. So I'm glad some of you are having just an amazing year already, it sounds. But man, I'm excited about what God has for us, and I hope that this year, 2019, is just amazing. That God shows favor in so many ways. It's good to see you. And I look forward to what we're going to talk about this morning. Hopefully you got one of these handouts. We had a bunch of them printed, so hopefully there's enough for you. I believe there may still be a few around if you need one. Does somebody have a pile still? Tom, is it distributed already? Are there more that you know of? There was a pile you had earlier. If you didn't get one, I'm sorry. Maybe we have more. Maybe we don't. So I want to give you, there's like 11 blanks that you need to fill in. And so this will be easy for you this morning. So if you're not feeling good about how much you've achieved, we're going to give you a chance to feel good about it this morning. So just a couple of things quickly. Several weeks ago, we talked about the direction, kind of the path ahead for our church. And we're really wanting to help people think about where they are and where they're going in this journey with knowing God, this walk with God. And so we talked about the spiritual growth continuum. It's on your sheet there. And the question about this is just a very simple, short question. Where are you? Where are you on the continuum? If you look at the far left, you have people who are exploring Christ. They're still asking questions. And then they take the next step and they're, growing. I guess we're growing instead of growing. I'm not sure what happened to the G. I do know that that normally has a G on the end, even though I am from the South in the U.S. So growing in Christ is what it should say. You're getting started. And then close to Christ would be the next one. Stuff's just missing all over the place. It's 2019, one of those fun things, right? So you're growing in Christ, and then the next one is close to Christ, and then finally all the way over, man, Christ-centered. He's the most important thing in my life. And so as you look at the list, and you look at that continuum on your sheet there, the question is, where are you on that scale? Where are you? Are you still exploring and asking questions, or have you taken a couple of steps? And I don't want to rush past it. You know, sometimes we hate silence, right? I don't want to rush past it. I actually want you to think about it and answer the question, where are you? And whenever 2020 rolls around, here in just a few minutes, will you have moved? Will you have moved forward? You see, there are several things we've learned that it takes to move forward. If you want to move forward from one category to the next, we've learned that the first one really is about your beliefs. So if you're exploring Christ and trying to figure it out, you ask a bunch of questions, and then there's a time when you say, I believe. And you take the step from death to life, actually. You trust Jesus. You say, yes, I believe. And so belief, maybe that's where you are. So you need to take a step of belief to move forward. But then once you are growing to move forward, there are these practices. And you have to just begin to use what you've learned and then learn more. You begin to put it into your life, not just have it external, but bring it internally. So you practice these things and it begins to grow in your life. And this is really where the Bible comes in. Because one of the things that I believe happened, I know it happened for me, is as soon as we trust Christ, we get really hungry for this. We get hungry. What's God saying? What's he doing? What's going on here? What are those stories? Tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more. You're growing. And so You begin to practice. You begin to pray. You begin to read God's word. And then the last move is surrender. And again, we're taking everything in our life and we're surrendering to what we've learned in God's word. And so the Bible is just this huge piece of the puzzle. God's word is a major player in us being able to move forward in our relationship with God. We have to have this. We need this. And so, man, there's some places where they don't have easy access. Anytime they have somebody come into town who knows something, just tell us verses, and they memorize. I remember hearing a story about a person in a place where Bibles were not allowed. And so someone came to town, they had a Bible, and they said, can we borrow it? And so these people took the Bible, and they were copying it night and day. They took turns. This friend, I'm copying it. And then they got too tired, they would go to bed, and somebody else would get up, and they would start copying, and just because they're hungry to know God's word. And so as we grow, the Bible's a big part in the process. So, the Bible. Man, we talk about it all the time, but do we know it, and do we understand? You know, if someone walked up to you and said, here's a new book. I want you to read it, and I want you to rearrange your entire life because of what this book says. What would you say? Time out. I have a few questions, right? Let me figure some things out before I'm going to just do what you said there. And so whenever somebody says, hey, here's a thing with the Bible. Here's the Bible. I want you to read it and rearrange your entire life to do what the Bible says. Well, you probably have a few questions, and that makes sense. First of all, whenever you are handed a book, what's one of the first questions you think of? Somebody hands you a book, what do you think? What's it about, right? And sometimes what it's about is obvious from the very front cover. In fact, this book right here, what's this book about? It's easy, right? The title tells you what it's about. It's about three pigs. Nice. What about this book right here? What's this book about? It's about two cities. Okay, and there's a lot more there, right? But in general, okay, two cities. Now, sometimes it's not as easy. What about this book here? What's it about? Some abstract words here, right? It's a love story, but it doesn't look like it, does it? Pride and Prejudice? What? I don't know what this story's about. And so what do you need? You need someone to tell you. Okay, what about this book? Whenever you see Holy Bible, what does that tell you that it's about? You already know the answer. What is the Bible about? That's a great answer. How did you know that from Holy Bible? Hey, you are so smart. No, whenever you see a title like Holy Bible, it doesn't tell you what's inside. How do you learn that? Well, you have to read it yourself, or you have to have someone else tell you about it, right? And so the first blank for you to fill in here. Whenever you, what does the word Bible tell you about the book? What does the word Bible tell you about the book? Nothing. Write it in. Okay? We know that. Just because it says Bible doesn't tell you the story. That word doesn't mean a whole lot unless you've begun to read it or have someone tell you about it. And so, man, it's pretty scary if you think about it. If a person hasn't read the Bible, how do they know what it's about? From what someone has said to them, or from watching people who say it matters to them. Now all of us are on trial. Because we say, oh yeah, the Bible's a big deal. Well, I've watched the way you live. Right? So they're watching to see, what's the Bible really about? And they're looking to see whenever they look at it. Now, so you see the word Holy Bible. Well, maybe if we could see the actual names of the books of the Bible, that would help us know what the Bible's about. Like, for instance, the book of Isaiah. Do you know what that's about? No, you don't know. So again, you have to read it to really begin to understand it. And so whenever somebody hands you a book and says, hey, this book's important, you just ask the question, what's it about? And Roberto did a great job of summarizing. But the idea is, what is the big picture of the Bible? What is the big story? What is the bottom line? And again, Roberto, I think, nailed it down to three words. I couldn't get it. Here's what I would say the Bible is about. If you're going to summarize the whole Bible, I believe it's about God saving the human race. God saving the human race. And I've had people argue with me about this and say, no, it's about this instead or this or whatever. I was like, you know what? I'm happy for you to be wrong. If you allow me to be wrong, okay? We'll just allow each other to be wrong. No, to me it's simple because like you said, the first couple of pages, they mess up. Now they need to be saved. And then you go to the very, 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 very end, right? And we've been saved, and it's over. So to me, the Bible clearly is about God saving the human race. Incredible story of how God pursued us and how he did all these things to come after and to love us. So the Bible is this amazing story, the big picture. God loves us, and he's working to save us. And that's what's laid out in the Bible. Okay, that's very nice. We like that. That sounds good. What else? How many of you have ever participated in youth sports? As a child, or you have children who have done this? Okay. Some amazing things happen around youth sports. Here's really what's going on. You have children who basically know nothing about what they're doing, right? They don't know, but people are saying, hey, go for it. The parents want to know more, and they're engaged, right? They want their kids to be active and energetic and learn things. And then you have the scary people, the coaches and the referees, who think they know stuff about the sport, right? They think they do. And so they get out there, and they're telling the kids, here's what you do, here's the right way to do it, and they're playing, and something will happen, and the referee, maybe you've seen this happen, the referee or the umpire, whatever, will say, whoa, time out. So-and-so broke the rules. There's a penalty, or we're going to change something. And then one of the parents or one of the coaches gets upset. Have you ever seen this happen before? Everybody's like, oh, shh, don't say anything, right? But somebody gets upset, and they're like, no, that's not what happened. You can't do that to my boy. You can't do that to my kids. And so they start to argue, right? And at first, it's kind of like, I don't think so. But then it's not a warm, you know, so in Hong Kong, I learned something really cool. It's called a warm reminder, right? Everything's warm. Warm regards, warm whatever. I'm like, hey, that's really cool, because in the U.S., we don't have warm reminders. It's just, here's a reminder. Oh, okay. So warm is nice. And so some of these disagreements that these coaches and parents and referees may have start off a little warm, right? Hey, I'm not sure. But then all of a sudden, it gets hot. It gets hot, right? And people are yelling. Have you seen people yelling? Okay. And it's really embarrassing for everybody. But here's a moment. There's a moment that happens, and all of a sudden everybody says, oh. I remember seeing this happen one time at a baseball game. A parent was really upset with the umpire, and they were going back and forth. And the parent said, no, I'm right, and I know it because he pulls something out of his pocket. I have a rule book right here. Oh. Everybody's like, oh no, what's going to happen? Maybe he's right. You see, until that moment, who was the authority in the situation? The umpire or the referee. But as soon as he pulls out the rule book, who's the boss? The rule book, actually. If the umpire is wrong, if the referee is wrong, according to the rule book, everybody has to follow the rule book, right? There's this authority that's bigger than us. And so whenever we look up the Bible, we have to remember, hey, that's what's happening here. Yes, it's a fun, warm, nice story of God loving us and pursuing us, but it is also the authority in our lives. It's the rule book. So number three, why is the Bible important? It's the authority. It's the authority. It's the rule book. It's a good book. It's a great story, but it is our authority. So whenever we think about this, we don't like this. We don't like to have something over us telling us, hey, this is the way your life is supposed to be. We don't like it, but we actually need it, and it's healthy. Especially if we read it, and we know it, and we follow. So here's just a quick question for you. Is the Bible the highest authority in your life? And you can just circle, yes or no. Be brave enough. Be brave enough. Circle, yes or no. Is the Bible the highest authority in your life? And here's what I want to put out there. The Bible is our authority, whether we believe it or not. I remember a preacher not too long ago, he was preaching a series, and I look forward to maybe doing some of that here. He said the Ten Commandments. He said, you know what? You don't break the Ten Commandments, actually. The Ten Commandments break you. If you try to do something different from what God's design is, it hurts you. You're the one that ends up paying for it, right? It's not going to hurt God. So it is true. It is the authority in our lives, whether we believe it or not. And so here's what we've come down to. To disobey the Bible, actually, is to disobey God. God's word, he's revealed it to us. And so if we follow it, we're in good shape. If we're going our own way, then we're disobeying him. We're not going the way that he wants us to go. Okay, so what we're saying then, Danny, is that the Bible is like equal to God. Is that what you're saying? We should like worship the Bible? There's this there's this kind of a joke we have back in the U.S. about the Baptists. And I grew up Baptist, so I'm allowed to make fun of us. So, but the Baptist Trinity is this right here. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. So exciting. The Bible is extremely important, but it's not God. Okay? We don't worship the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible. We especially don't replace the Holy Spirit with the Bible. And so God's Word, but it is not God. And so we have to make sure we keep that distinction clear. Make sure we're not putting it in a place that it is not. So we listen to God, and His Word is what makes the Bible special, because God is our authority, and He's spoken to us here. So His Word is our authority, but it is not the same as God. The Bible is from God. That's really what we want to land on. So it's from God. It's His Word. And so that's why it is our authority. How do we know that? Well, there are several verses that remind us of this. Let me see if we missed some. Okay. So there's one that got cut off the bottom here. So I don't want to go into the details here because you won't be able to hang with it in this setting, in family day, kids sitting right here, and so on. But the Bible itself says, hey, this is the real thing. It is from God. So in the Old Testament, speaking of the Old Testament, in 2 Timothy, Paul says, all Scripture is given from God, right? It's God-breathed. You can write that in. 2 Timothy 3:16 is a reference that tells us the Old Testament is from God. In the New Testament, 1 Timothy 5:18, 2 Peter 3:16, two verses that say, hey, the New Testament also is God's Word. So, some of you are sitting here, okay, this is a little crazy. Have any of you ever played peekaboo with a child? A strange child, for instance, like you're on a bus, you're on an airplane. Really dangerous to do on an airplane. Really dangerous. Why is it dangerous to play peekaboo with a stranger, a child? Anybody know? Why is it dangerous? Isla, do you know? Oh, you're not thinking about it still? Okay. Anybody? Why is it dangerous? You know? You don't want to kidnap children, and we will not do that. Playing peekaboo, definitely. Let me tell you why it's dangerous. They don't ever want to quit playing. If you begin playing peekaboo with a child, especially on an airplane, you're stuck there, right? And they are stuck in that seat. You're going to be doing that for 3 hours, right? Good job. You got them to like you. You better be ready to play peekaboo for a long, long, long time. And I can tell you, I love talking about all the details of this verse says this and this verse says that, so I could do this a long, long time, is all I'm trying to say here. All right, so talking about the Bible, I love this book. I love it. So here's what I love about January also, especially the first week of January. People have made New Year's resolutions that they're going to read the Bible this year. Anybody do that, by the way? Anybody said, I'm going to read the Bible in 2019? Anybody raise your hand? Good. I got several hands going up. And so I know a guy, he said, hey, I'm going to read the Bible this year. And so I said, okay, cool, go for it. And so now he's sending me questions. He's like, okay, what's the deal with Jacob having like 75 wives, you know, whatever. But people are going through Genesis in January, and there's some crazy stuff in January. And so people are reading that, and they're asking questions. It's just fun. It's fun to see people just getting in and walking through what God has given us. So I love the Bible. It's so fun for me. But let's keep moving here. So, okay, God inspired the Bible. Thank you. Very good stuff. I appreciate that. But didn't God also inspire books like this one? I mean, didn't God lead John Bunyan to write this cool story? And didn't God also inspire Rick Warren to write this great book that's helped change so many people's lives? I mean, didn't God inspire those books as well? So what's the difference? What's the difference between the Bible and these other books that God has led people to write? And that's where I want us to zero in on this verse here, 2 Timothy 3:16. It's what makes the Bible really, really special. Here's what this verse says. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. By the way, profitable is a good word, right? We think the Bible's going to beat us down. No, it's good. It's good for us. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So the Bible is really helpful. But what it says at the beginning that I want us to zero in on, it is breathed out by God. And so the Orthodox belief on this is that God gave the words to the writers. He gave specifically this word. I want you to write these words. Now, maybe he gave Rick Warren some cool concepts and he put it in The Purpose-Driven Life. And maybe he gave the idea or even dream to John Bunyan to write Pilgrim's Progress. But whenever he was inspiring Isaiah to write Isaiah, he was giving him words. He was giving him specifically, I want you to write this word and then that word. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1, we see that the Holy Spirit was actually the one leading. It says, knowing this, first of all, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. What we're seeing in Scripture is not somebody's good idea of what he thinks. No. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men. But men spoke from God as they were, look at this, carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Bible you have is just this miracle book where God spoke words. The Spirit is breathing these words, dictating, I believe, the words for them to put on the paper. And the crazy thing about this is they didn't always understand what they actually wrote. The Spirit controlled the writing process, and what happens is eventually, as they're writing things, of course, they're not going to be able to make sense of it because they're writing things that have not happened yet or things they haven't even seen. So the writers didn't always understand what they wrote. Here's an example of that in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah's writing about Jesus being crucified, okay? Crucifixion hasn't even been invented yet. This is hundreds of years before the Romans began what they did, and yet Isaiah is writing about it. Look at these words. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He's talking about his Messiah. Doesn't make sense. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. I can just imagine Isaiah as he's writing this. He's like, okay, you want me to write what? What do you? Okay. And he's just writing it. And I have no clue what I'm writing here, but I'm just going to write it down. And as he was faithful, as the Spirit spoke to him, what words he should write. We are so encouraged. By his wounds, we are healed. Beautiful words. Isaiah didn't even know what he was writing. The Holy Spirit was guiding him, and he followed. So here's a quick thing for us just to come back to. Remember, no matter who the human author may have been, every word in the Bible is from God. It's from God. James Merritt says it this way. The primary purpose of reading the Bible is not to know the Bible, it's to know God. So this year, as you're thinking about reading the Bible, I don't want us to get into a scary habit of ticking boxes. I read my 4 chapters today. I read my 1 chapter. I read my 6 verses. No. The purpose is not just to check a box, to tick a box and say, I read some. The purpose is to know God, the one who gave us this, the one who loves us, the one who sent his son to save us. That's the whole purpose. And so I hope that this year, as you're thinking about, okay, where am I? Where am I going? The Bible will be a huge part of your life. I encourage you, jump in. I know it's already January the 6th. 359 days left now. So you're thinking, no, I don't have enough time. No, 359 days is still enough time. If you haven't started reading the Bible, trying to make it through the Bible in a year, whatever your plan may be, the New Testament this year, jump in. Dive in. And the purpose is not so you can say, yeah, I did that. The purpose is to know the God who loves you, who sent his son to save you. I encourage you, jump in. Enjoy what God has given us in the Bible. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for the work that so many have gone through, Lord. Many, many scores of authors over many years. Lots of sacrifice, lots of danger to write and preserve your word. Well, I pray that we will fall more and more in love with your word because we're in love with you. God, I thank you that as we read your word, your Spirit teaches us and encourages us and helps us. So, Lord, we just thank you. And we ask that as we dive in this year into your word in a new way, that your Spirit would be our teacher, and that we would actually get to know you more and move forward more and more like Jesus, our hero. We pray in his name. Amen.